Welcome to the House of Manna tonight. I want to continue on in the series that the Lord has put on my heart. We spoke last week on the temporary inconvenience for a permanent good. Now, how many, you know, we talked about how many of you have been inconvenienced before. But see, that inconvenience isn't for you to stay there. It's for you to get an understanding of what you're being inconvenienced about. Once you get that understanding, it's just like any type of construction that goes on, like the construction on the roads, and there's so much of it now. But the reason why there's construction on the roads is because there's growth in the city, correct? And it's like once they finish one road, you turn down another street, and they're doing construction on that road. It seems like things don't ever come to a complete end with getting things ready for growth. But the reality is he's trying to get us to understand in our life of our inconvenience, or our temporary inconvenience, to get us to a permanent place in him, to understand that he wants us to continually grow in him and in his word. Amen? So what I want to do is do part two of this, and I've entitled this one, Moving from Temporary to Permanent. Moving from temporary to permanent, it's time to come out of the tent. It's time to come out of the tent. How many of you have been camping before? I mean real camping, where you camp in a tent. Not a hotel. Not a cabin. Okay, so we do have some real tent kind of people. It's nice and cool in the summer, isn't it, when you're in the tent? Everything's nice and cool. No? You know, when you're camping and everything, you can hear all the noise that's going on outside the tent. And doesn't it seem to get amplified even more when you're in the tent and there's a noise, there's a critter outside, and it can be just a little thing, like a cricket or something, and it just gets magnified even more that you start to think it's a bear. Or you start to think that it's a snake. It's something that can enter into the tent and is there to eat you up. See, our mind begins to race if we don't have an understanding of being secure in the place where God has us. And our mind can wander. And not only does it wander, we begin to magnify things outside of a temporary shelter. Now, if we were to turn all the lights out in here, and it was dark outside, I guarantee the other senses would begin to pick up even more things like sounds that are going on. Now, I was always kind of what you would call a type of person that would get kind of scared. And how many of you know the boogeyman? The boogeyman. You always want to check underneath your bed. You want to check in the closet. And don't close the door all the way, just a little bit. There's that one. You don't want your feet to come off the bed because you don't know if what that boogeyman underneath is going to reach up from underneath the bed and just... See, things begin to get magnified if you're not secure in the things where you're at. And the fear sets in. You know, the trick of the enemy is to put so much fear inside of you that you don't ever move in the things of faith. So he begins to get you to get fearful. There may be a circumstance that you're dealing with, that something is spoken to you or something is given a report to you, and fear sets in. But faith will overcome that fear. Doesn't mean that the facts aren't there. Means that your faith can change the facts. Oh, y'all missed that one. Facts are stated, but your faith can change the facts. See, it's just like in the wedding in Canaan when the wine ran out, and Jesus said, it's not yet my time to do any type of miracles and demonstration. But the mama, you know, when mama says it's time, it's just time. Jesus didn't even argue. Jesus said, oh, okay, yes, mama, yes, mama. And matter of fact, she even told his servants, do exactly as he says. And didn't even talk to Jesus after that. Just do exactly what he tells you to do. And she walked on. That's real authority right there. Isn't that real authority when mama says do, and not only does mama tell you to do, but tells the servants to also do what you're supposed to do? That's authority. So the fact where they were out of wine in Canaan in the wedding, and it would have been an insult to the family if they ran out. So the fact is gone. Jesus turned by faith the water into wine. So regardless of what kind of report you're getting, I don't know who this is for, but regardless of what kind of report you're getting or what kind of information is coming your way, your faith can change those facts. Amen? Because your faith can move mountains. It says you can speak to the mountain and it can be cast into the sea. But what happens is fear will sit in based upon a temporary circumstance in your life that it will get you to shut your mouth and shut down and no longer speak things by faith. So we have to come out of our temporary shelters, our tents, and move into a permanent. So look at your neighbor and say, come out of your tent. It's time to come out of your tent. We're going to come out of the tent. And why are we going to come out of the tent? Because it's only temporary. Only temporary. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We all pretty much know this particular scripture because we quote it all the time, but then we forget about that we've quoted it so many times, we forget really what it's saying. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard Bible, and it reads this wise. There is an appointed time for everything. Amen? Is there a semicolon there, or is there a comma, or is it a period? It's a period because to everything there is a season. Period. Didn't say how long the season's going to be. Living here in San Antonio long enough, you know that our summers go a long time. Our winter, about 2 weeks. Spring, about a day. So things just change so quick. But one of the things that we have to understand that even though there is a season and there's a time for everything, you have to understand this. And there is a time for every event under heaven. There is a time for every event under heaven. That means what is going on in your life, what is going on in your personal life, what is going on in your finances, what is going on in your body, what is going on in your ministry, what is going on, period, in your life, it happens for a season. It's only temporary. It's not permanent. Amen? And understand that it's only temporary, you have an understanding that you're coming out of it. That we don't stay there. We do not stay there. Don't make it your residence. Don't make it the place where you're going to stay forever. Now, there is a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. And when I read that, I was like, Lord, you know, then why are we going to plant if you're just going to uproot it? But the understanding is you have to uproot what is planted that is only temporary. No, don't make me work tonight. Come on, don't make me work tonight. Because what happens is we start making adjustments based on what we have put into the ground, or did we put it into a temporary pot? If you put it into a temporary pot, the roots are going to continue to grow and they're going to get so stressed that they're no longer going to grow and produce what it's designed to produce. So if you put it into the ground with the nutrients that are necessary, it gives enough room for the roots to grow. And then it'll produce after its kind in its season. What happens is many of us will go through seasons in our life, but we don't want to get rooted. Lord. All we want to do is get to moving. You know, I was telling my wife one day when we had our office, I said, on my desk, I'm going to put a big old piece of lead there. Because so many Christians today will use this whole thing saying, I feel lead. And I'll put that lead piece right there and say, I feel it too. I feel lead. The Lord's calling me to go do this. I feel the lead too. But that doesn't mean the Lord said that means you desire. Because God is not double-minded, nor is he unstable. If he sent you on assignment, make sure that assignment is complete. Before you start saying, Pastor, I feel led. I'll lead you somewhere.
Sure will.
I'll lead you with a loving rebuke. Did God do exactly what he intended for you to do in this place? Hello. The simplest form to understand this is, I'm going to college and you're going to go to your professor and say, I feel led for me to leave now. And I've got all my knowledge and learning that I have, and it's time for me to graduate. I know I've only been one semester, but I think I've got it. I'm good. Well, what do you mean I have to fulfill the requirements to get my degree in order to graduate? I can't just do one semester and be done with it and move on and get my degree and go into the profession that I want to do. And just for one semester, I think I feel led. I feel like it's time. No, you've got to do what is required of you to do in that season. Now, we know we call it the 4-year degrees or 8-year degrees, and the associates are what, 2 years? Right? Associate's degrees are usually 2 years. And I was in that program that mine was extended more than the 2 years than the associates. Sometimes it went to 3 and 4 for an associate's. And then they said, well, are you a professional student? I always want to learn. Well, you got to show up to learn. You have to show up to learn. You just can't walk in and just say you're here and then leave just to get accounted that you were there in the classroom, but you didn't get your learn on. No, that's not proper vernacular, but you didn't. Just, okay. That you didn't learn what you went there to go and learn, to have an understanding for the proficiency level that you needed so that you can graduate to the next level. You see, what happens is many a times we start to look at our temporary circumstances and we want to make it a permanent thing, and that's not what it's designed for you to do. Now, we have to understand that the Hebrew nation in the wilderness, they moved around with tents. But see, they were in a permanent dwelling place in Egypt, and they were there in a permanent place, but they were under a different way of living. They were slaves. So then he tells them to come up out of Egypt. He demonstrates with his hand. He shows all these miracles, all the plagues, brings them out of Egypt, and he gets them into the wilderness, and they have to start living by ways of a tent. Now, come on now, put yourself in this situation. I'm moving you out of your dominion estate to go out into this Coleman tent that only sleeps 3. You know, in your permanent home, in your residence, even though you were working so hard, you had your own little closet area, you know, the closet that has enough room for the 50 shoes that you have. But now you're going to go into a tent that is mobile and designed for you to be on the move at all times. And the only shoes that you're going to take are your sandals. See, there's some stress that we go under when God begins to do things with us and requires us to grow in him by faith. I'm going to take you out of a permanent dwelling place, and I'm going to take you into the wilderness where you're going to have to learn to follow me. You're going to have to make everything easy for you to move. Now, when I began to study this, I knew that their tents were not just little tents. And they didn't stay in one spot all the time. They were always moving around, and they did it for 40 years because they had a hard time dealing with the things that God was showing them. They were stiff-necked. So a tent reminds us of the temporary nature and the things in which we deal with. And if you were to consider how Abraham lived, he lived in a tent temporarily, but looking for an everlasting city. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, it says, By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Isn't that something? He went out not knowing by faith where he was going, but through obedience, he trusted God. Nowadays, we just can't even get people to just trust God and what he's saying to do, and we'll make sure that we find every excuse in the book not to do it. But the reality is, by faith, you got to do it even though you don't know what's going to happen on the other side. Because if it's God that spoke it and God is telling you to do, that's what you're supposed to do. The more you delay, you become disobedient. Whatever God is telling you to do, that's what you do. You do it. Because you may be in a temporary situation right now, but he's trying to get you into a permanent place. Verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, I spoke on this morning with the men's meeting we had here with Pastor Adrian and Compassion Church. It's when you're building a building, you have to go to the designer and follow the designers, the engineers, in their blueprints to build what is necessary so that it will stand the test of the elements. You cannot negate any of the processes or it will not be a sound structure. Some of the things that you do not see, and most of the things that allow the structures to stand, are the things that you do not see. All right, now hear this now. If we're so caught up in being seen and being heard, you're still not ready for things to be built upon you. Let me say it again. If you're always wanting to be seen or heard, you're not built strong enough in your foundation, the pressures to be put on you. Why? Because if you're always wanting to be heard or seen, what's inside of you are your insecurities. If you've ever been around anybody that just talks too much, it's their insecure. And if you've ever been around anybody that talks your ear off so much about nothing, how many? No, I'm not even. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But what happens is your insecurities will come out more when you just sit there and be silent listening to someone just ramble on. And you'll be able to understand what is going on in the individual's life. The real substance that is able to be a real pillar, a foundational structure, is from within. The things that keeps the foundation strong and firm isn't the cement that you see. It is the binding and the gathering of the metal and the rebar together that you never see after the cement's been poured. Because if it doesn't have those elements involved, then it's just going to crack. But what you cannot see is what's keeping it together. So what God is doing is trying to get his people to come out of their temporary situations and look for a permanent place in him. Now let me break this down for you to have an understanding. There is times and seasons where Christianity is not the favorable thing to do. We don't want to do it because you're so religious. You know, you're a Bible thumper. What do you call a holy roller? What are those other things they call those people? You know, you just think that you're so holy. So we don't want anything to do with Christianity. And we put that on God. How about putting that on the people that are saying it? Because the first person that wants to judge you for you and your love for God, the Bible says, in the manner that you judge, you shall be judged as well. And I finally got to the point, I've always been this way. I don't care what you think of me. I don't. You may not like the way I preach. It's okay. It's all right. I answer to God. And if I don't do it his way, y'all don't answer to him, I do. Right? And I'm making it simple for you. I care about people. I love people. You can do me wrong and I'm still going to love you. Do me wrong again, I'm still going to love you, but from a distance. Make your comments one more time. I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love that hell right on out of you. But see, here's the understanding that we have to understand. Things will happen in our life that will challenge us. And in that process of being challenged, it's so that we can understand that it's nothing inside of us that should actually feel like it's an attack. If someone comes to speak against you, Lauren, and talk about you, Lauren, that doesn't mean it's totally true. They just may not like you because of your faith. They may not like you just because how you continually stand in the midst of adversity. And that you don't waver when things go bad. You stand anyhow. And sometimes people just don't like that. Well, how are you going to go and do something like that? So you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm just going to do it. I feel led. Because the Lord said, so I'm going to do. We have to have that understanding that God is trying to get us to understand who we are in Him and how He works and develops us through the processes that we go through. Everything is temporary. But He wants to get us to that permanent place. A tent was made to be portable. The tent was made to be protective. The tent was made to be durable. But the tent was always made to be temporary. Temporary. Now, because it was made to be temporary, do you think that the 40 years would seem pretty permanent? Now, I don't know about you. Now, I love my family. Love my family. Love my kids. But to be in a tent for 40 years with them? 40 years. That means there's some little ones that are growing up in the midst of that. And we're all in one tent. Sure, it's durable from the outside elements. But what about the inside elements? What about all the stuff that's going to cause all kinds of strain in our marriage and in just the circumstances in the tent? Think about it. Now, well, shoot, I wasn't going to say it, but this isn't like where you have those exhaust fans to get all that stuff out for breeze. Wasn't created then. You didn't have windows. Or those little window units that you can connect to a generator you put into a tent when you go camping and you have an AC unit in your tent. No, it's going to get to the point where some feathers are going to get ruffled. And I think that what happens is when we get to a place that we get so comfortable in our mess that we allow the mess to be okay. I said, Lord, I'm messy. I'm messy. I'll make a mess out of anything. He says, out of that mess, I'll speak to you. It reminds me of a gentleman that passed away years ago. The sweetest man I've ever met, and it's father of a dear sister-in-law, the family, and sweet man. But every time he would make coffee, just a coffee pot, coffee grounds, you knew who made coffee. You would get up in the morning just because he made his coffee. Before you even got to the coffee pot, you would have cabinet doors open, about four mugs on the counter. By the time you even looked over to the coffee pot, there was coffee grounds all over it, creamer and sugar. And water. You could have had the water and the coffee together with the cream and sugar right there on the counter and made your own coffee. That's just the way he was. Sweetest man I've ever met. But you knew when he made coffee. And I started thinking, and I asked my sister-in-law, and I said, doesn't that get under your skin? She says, it used to. Now I just wait till he cleans it up. And then I go get my coffee. I said, it's 1 p.m. And it's still that way. She said, that's my dad, though. Eventually he gets around to it. And very happy to do it, and he'll do it. I said, I don't have patience. She goes, you'll learn someday. You'll learn someday. I said, what do you mean I'm going to learn someday about someone making a mess in my kitchen? She says, whenever you're able to bless your family, house your family, and allow them to be themselves in your home, you don't care. You just let them be them. I said, ooh, I don't like that. Is that led? I feel led to just say something. But I didn't like what was told to me. said, Lord, I want to make sure that what I'm going through and what I'm doing, that I have an understanding. I need to come out of my temporary and move into my permanent. Come out of my place that is made to be portable and made to move and made to be a shelter for a season. Because in this season, I have to get acclimated to the things that may not be favorable to me. But the more I become acclimated to it and adjust to it, it shows my character in the seasons that I'm in it. Because your character will never be tested when everything is going good. When everything is going good and in your favor, it's easy to be happy. It's easy to smile and love everybody. But when things are not going your way and things don't seem like to fall in place for your life, and your money gets funny, and things to get a little sideways with your children, then how is your character going to come out, and how are people going to see you? This is what he was doing with the Hebrew nation. He was using Abraham to guide them at times, speak to them in that. And then you remember how Abraham, before he became Abraham, he was Abram. Watch this. Don't miss this. Because Abram and Sarai were living in a tent. Then the angels come, and when the angels come, Abram knew that those were messengers of God, and he tells his wife to prepare a meal for them. Hey, when is it that in your temporary inconvenience in your seasons will you make an effort and a sacrifice to do what God has told you to do? And then the angel brings a report saying, your wife is going to bear you a son. And the wife, Sarai, hears it and laughs in the tent. Isn't it something when God speaks something to you that goes against what you think can really take place? You begin to laugh at the very thing that God said can happen for your life because you've been waiting for so long to get the promise and it doesn't come. And then they speak this to you. You don't believe it. You start mocking it. You start thinking, this is crazy. These people are crazy. There ain't no way. Those ain't angels. Those are men, because if they were angels, they wouldn't be eating the food I'm making. You see, we begin to negate the things that God has put in place for us to get to us what we need. Because we've been in a temporary place that has been discomforting, and it gets to the point that we get so irritated that even when God sends angels to your place, you don't want to receive it. And you laugh within the place of temporary inconvenience because your faith isn't taking you to see the permanent that he had in place for you. And then I began to look, I said, I know that some things just don't work out all the time. I get it. But if God sent two angels to my house, it's a feast getting ready to happen. If I ain't got no food, I'm going into my neighbor's house and, hey, I got some visitors. You better open up. I need some bread. I need some weenies. I need some bologna. I need something. What you mean you only got two loaves? Give me one of those loaves. There's a whole bunch of neighbors around. I'm making sure these angels ain't leaving until I get my blessing. We've got to come out of that place of temporary inconvenience, get out of our tent so that we can move into our permanent place. But not everybody's going to be on the same page as you. Whew. Not everybody is going to accept what God has spoken into your life. Here's what I love about it. The angels... The angels came to have dinner with the father of faith. What would you do if the angel showed up in your life? A question that I would always ask is, how could you find me in my place of discomfort? How could you find me in a place of discontentment? How can you find me in a place where I have been alone for too long? Yes, I've got all this wealth and I have all these servants, but the one thing I do not have is someone that can take over, that my blessing will continue on. What I do not have is a son. And the one thing that you're coming to talk to me about is my promise. And I believe that Sarai was saying, I've had enough of all this prophecy. I've had enough of God saying this. And I have to trust you, Abram, that this is God. I believe she was in that tent kicking all that stuff around. I don't want to make no bread. I don't want to make nothing. And she's just, I don't want. God says, you keep on talking that way because it doesn't matter what you want, don't want. I'm still going to do it because I'm God all by myself. I don't need you to tell me when I can bless you. I don't need you when to tell me I can come to your place of dwelling. I don't need you when to tell me when I can come in and fellowship with you. I don't need you to tell me when I can come near you. I love you just the way you are. Even in your mess, when you don't want to worship, even when you don't want to pray, even when you don't want to praise, I can still send my messengers to you. I said, Lord, if I got to be in a tent in a place that is uncomfortable, then I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make sure that the whole time I'm there, I'm cleaning away. Yeah. I know it's been a little crazy. I know it don't feel good. So many spirits everywhere. So many things I got to deal with. People just don't want to understand dealing with Jezebel, dealing with Ahab, dealing with an Absalom spirit. I need all kinds of spirit. I'm dealing with the spirit of Marty Perez as well because he gets tired, gets mad, and you know, I still going to praise God anyhow. Why? Because when you love God, you love him through the good and the bad. Not just when things are good. Not just when your bank account is full. How about loving them when you've got nothing? How about loving them when you can't even rub two pennies together to make any kind of sense? You love them anyhow. Because some of the things that you don't even know are taking place in your life are so many miracles that keep you alive. The divine protection of the blood that is over your family. Come on. But we want to get upset because of the temporary inconvenience in our life, and we get to the point where we're going to laugh like Sarai laughed concerning what was spoken. Are you hearing this? But in reality, Abraham accepted it. And when you're in that place of a temporary inconvenience in a tent, watch what happens. They hadn't moved into a permanent place yet. They're still going through the transitional phases. And because the angels came to speak about something and it didn't happen, Sarai took it into her own hands. And she says, I know what the angels said. I fed them. I know. I made. I cooked for them. I know. You served them, but I know what I was saying. And I heard it too. But since it ain't happened in my timing, you can have my servant. Abram like, okay. I can have your servant. It's on. You gonna give me a green light permission? You gonna give me a pass? I'm gonna take advantage of this. Come on, don't act like you're so holy. Like you ain't been in that place before. There's some things that don't happen, and you want to take matters into your own hand. Maybe it's not so drastic to say you can have my roommate or you can have my best friend, but maybe you'll say some things that you shouldn't say and speak against the thing that God has spoken to you because you're so uncomfortable living in a temporary place. And he wants to make it permanent. He wants to get you out of the temporary and put you into a permanent place. He wants growth. Don't make permanent what was made to be temporary. Don't make it permanent. I love that they came and they ate. They sat down and ate with him. I find it so interesting that when the angels came and they came to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and bring judgment, that even Abraham steadied and conversed with them not to. Are you hearing this? They came with an intent that God said to do. But because Abraham trusted and believed God with everything, God even allowed Abraham to reason with him. Are you hearing this? Then God said, well, what? Abraham tells God, but what if I find 50 righteous men? God says, then I'll steady him. But Abraham knew there wasn't. But what if I find 40? Well, we're going to negotiating with God. And in the very end, God's original intent was done. But whose life got spared? The divine connection. Those that are connected to you. Because of your faith to continue on. Lot had no idea. Lot was doing everything that was going on in that city. Lot was. But because of the divine connection with Abraham, spirit. That's relationship. Relationship based on your faith. Based on everything you've desired for God, for your life, and for your family, God spared your life. Whew. And that's what I love about God. Even in that place of being in a temporary inconvenience, I'm trying to move you to a place of permanent. Whew. Each year, there's a Feast of Tabernacles. What is that? That's the Feast of Tents. And in the place that we were worshiping before we came here, we would witness it. They would take their tents and they would do the actual Feast of Tabernacles where they would stay a night in their tents. I said, Lord, thank you for reminding me, and keeping in my remembrance what you did for the nation of Israel. But I thank God I wasn't there. I thank God I wasn't there. I thank God that he did it. He protected, he guided, and he led them out. And they dwelled in tents for a season. But even that season came to an end. Even that season came to an end. The tabernacle was a contrast with the magnificent temples of the pagan gods. So here's what I want you to understand. Here comes these people of God. And God is the God that is communicating and blessing, keeping, protecting. That the news of their God was spread about saying, God is with the people of Israel. And everywhere they go, the hand of God is with them and they overtake the land. So when you are moving about with the things of God, people take notice of the victories in your life. You may not take to account the victories that God has brought you through because there's so many that have happened. But people will take notice to all the victories that are going on in your life because God is the one that has given you the victories. Then they'll know, I know who to go to ask for prayer. I may not be the one always praying, but I know who I can go to for prayer. Why? Because they've seen the hand of God move on your life. I said, Lord, this is good. And this is during the time where the temples of the pagan gods were so big, so grand, that people would go to them because it was a permanent place. Oh, don't miss this. The people of Israel could have easily turned to the pagan gods because it was a permanent place of worship. Are you hearing this? But what was God teaching them in the place of temporary? He says that I will go with you, I will be with you always, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not trying to make a building for it to be a temple, I'm trying to make my temple in your hearts. So that wherever you go, I am there with you always. Because what I'm going to do is bring my son into this place, and that he will never leave you, he will always be with you every step of the way. He will come and he won't stay in one temple. He is the temple. That he'll travel about and the people will follow him. And it was a representation as follow the light. Woo. And as they would follow the light, not only would they see the blessing, but they would also see divine miracles taking place. This is what he was trying to teach a people to understand. This is why you're in a place of temporary. Because I want to make my residence permanent in your heart. Whew. How can it be a place of permanent in your heart if everything is going the way you want it to go? You will forget God. Yes, you will, because you'll put the focus on your success as opposed to knowing that the success came from God. Whew. Look at this. In this time with the Hebrews, God laid out the pattern on how to arrange the camping tents, if you would. And this is what he did. He chose of the tribes where exactly they were to go and pitch the tent. And where they would go and pitch the tent, each tribe would go and do so in the allotted portion of the land like they were supposed to. And guess what was in the center of the camp? Is the Ark of the Covenant. And that would be the temporary place where they would erect the tent, the tabernacle, and where it was, because the camps of the tents formed the cross. And in the middle of the cross of all the tents was the tabernacle, which was the center, saying, as long as I'm in the middle of all of this, I will always be the center of your worship. That when we leave this place, know that you're always going to be in your allotted space, but I will always be the center of your life. I will always be in the middle of everything that you're doing, and I have a prescribed way for you to do it, so that it will never leave your mind, your heart, or your spirit, that I am in the middle of everything you do. Woo! And as God was aligning them in this pattern, it was only going to be temporary, because they weren't always going to be in the wilderness. It was only in the wilderness experience before they got to Canaan. Here's the thing. Because they lived so much in a tent, they had finally the appetite to want something permanent. They went through so much of change, transformations in their life, to seeing God move in their life, that they finally said, yes, now I want what is rightfully mine. I want my inheritance. I want to move into permanent and get out of this temporary. And this is what he tells them. Now you're going to cross to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. But before you cross over, it's going to be at flood stage. And it's at flood stage to see whether or not you're going to be inconvenienced at the time of crossing, that even when you cross over, you still have to rely on me to get you there. So when you rely on God to get you over a place of transition into a place of permanent, then you understand it's God's hand that's been involved all along. All along. So he gets them across. And this is what takes place. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verses 5 through 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Verse 5 reads this wise. Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. Whew. He's telling his servant David, King David, will you build me a house? Would you build God a house? Would you? One day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I build you the greatest cathedral ever you want. I will do whatever you want. I will go ahead and build it up on a city hill so that everybody can see it. I would have the biggest cross that anybody has ever seen on top of that very place where the light is always shining. They would see the fire at night, whoo, in a cloud. And they would know that truly that is the place that God has designed his place of habitat. because it would be a permanent place. I said, God, I will make it big and I will make it grand. I'll make where people come in and say, is this Solomon's temple? Is this where all this gold came from? Is this where all this is? And God said, no, I don't want you to build me something permanent in a fixture. I want it permanent in your heart, because everywhere you go, my kingdom will be displayed in your life. Then I need you to take my temple everywhere you go and pattern it after what Jesus did. Do as Jesus saw the Father do. Speak as Jesus heard the Father speak. And greater things you shall do than what you saw Jesus do. Marty, I need you to take the kingdom with you everywhere you go. And as you do so, people's lives will be transformed, changed, healed, and delivered. He says, it's not about the four walls and how beautiful the facade is if your heart's not right. Whew. Watch this. Verse 7. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? What is this question of? He's saying, didn't I ever ask anybody to build it when I was in the tents with them? No, but now that we're in this place, and now I have a king that is after my own heart, which was David, he knew that if people would watch David worship the Father, then they too would learn how to worship God. When David had an understanding who God was, he didn't care what people thought of him. Proof is in the scriptures when he began to bring the Ark of the Covenant back when it was taken away when they were in exile. He brings it back and he realizes you can't do a man-made thing if it's not God's prescribed way. But once he went before the Lord, watch this, that every step he took, he made a sacrifice. Huh? My God. He had an understanding that it didn't matter where the house is going to be built. It was a matter of how our house in here is being built. They have an understanding. I will sacrifice all that I have. I will give you all that I have in me for you, God. And it doesn't matter how people see me worship, how they see me cry, how they see me praise, run around a building, shout hallelujah, amen, shanda, shanda. He don't care, because God knew that his heart was right after him. If we can lose all of our natural abilities just to be crazy for Jesus, my God. All he wants for us to do is say, he lives in me. That's it. I need to move you out of your tents into a permanent place. I want to dwell with you. Watch this. Wow, this is so good. At the time of the crucifixion, watch what God did. God ripped the veil from top to bottom. What does that signify? In the scriptures, when someone died, what would happen is they would tear their garments off of themselves. They would call renting the garment, rent. They would tear it. And they wouldn't do it bottom up. They'd do it from top down. What God was saying is in this temple, now my son is dead. I'm tearing my garments of my tabernacle open. And I am opening it up so you have access where you have been denied before. Now you have access to the throne of grace 24/7. And I have ripped it open for you to have an open door policy with God and his son. Well, you better hear this. God was saying, I'm through with having all these things look so spiritual. Now I've got to rip it open so that you can come in on a daily basis. Woo! God was in mourning for his son, and we are in celebration to receive. The only time that Jesus ever felt alone in his life was when he was on the cross. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And at that very moment, God had to turn away from Jesus so that he could deal with the sin that was brought upon his life. Whose sin was it? It wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Jews, It was all of our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And it was the love that kept him on the cross. Because he could have called the angels to come and take him off. His love is what kept him on the cross. What's this? But his promise was not released after his resurrection. Seed came to the people of faith. And it was deposited right inside of you. Watch this. There was a whole bunch of people that he said, go into Jerusalem and wait. Tarry there. Then I will send the promise to you. And they go into an upper room. And in this upper room, because it was inconvenient to stay, stand, and be still, many of them left. Many of them left because of the inconvenience. But when it dwindled down to the numbers that were there, watch this. Then the Holy Spirit moved upon every single one of them. And it was seen like tongues of fire that lighted right upon their heads. And there was a baptism that took place. My God. A baptism of the Holy Spirit like never before. That they begin to speak in unknown tongues. Things that they had never articulated in their life. They begin to speak in unknown languages. But those that had the language to understand the language they were speaking were in the presence. Why am I saying this? Because God made a permanent residence in their life. And he can minister to any individual he wanted to as long as you yielded to his spirit. Moving from temporary to permanent. Let's come out of our tents. And let's move into a permanent place. Amen. Watch this. In Jeremiah 31, the book of Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33, this is out of the NIV. God dealt with the temporary to establish the permanent. Verse 31 says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people of Israel and the people of Judah. And it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Here is a permanent declaration and a permanent covenant that he is our God, and we are his people. He moved us out of temporary, and he made residence within us permanently. Watch this. Jesus momentarily lived amongst us and looked to go and be in the everlasting Father's house. John 1, verse 14. He had a brief life here on earth for 33 years. His death was brief for 3 days. In the interim, he is to return, preparing a permanent place in the Father's house. He says, I go to prepare a room for you. A place of permanent residence. Permanent. We are only here temporary. But our permanent place will be with the Father forever. Forever. And Jesus said, I'm going to go and make a room for you. Because in my Father's house, there's many mansions. That's what he said. So, you know, me, I start looking, shoo. However big you want to make my room, make it. However big you want to put that TV, put it on. If you want surround sound, put it on. So when I hear my music, it's like angels singing. And the Lord says, I'll have them sing to you, Marty. I'll have them worship with you, Marty. Because you don't have to wait to get to my Father's house. You can enjoy it here on earth because heaven is at hand. The moment you begin to lift up your hands and begin to worship your God, the angels begin to worship with you. And you begin to sing in a choir of heavenly hosts. And you begin to worship the God of creation. and your Creator begins to receive your praise and your worship like incense unto his nostrils. And it is like that of the angels that begin to sing of the praises of what God has done in your life and how they have moved about according to his word. And he says that my angels, the moment someone says yes to Jesus, they begin to throw a party in heaven. Woo! I thank God. Woo! That he's given us a permanent place, which is in the Father's house. The Father's house. It may not be in a building like a church, but it's where Father, Abba Father, lives. He says, but don't wait to get here. You can have me right now. You can experience me right now, because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You are my people and I am your God. So his word says, and because he's our God, there is nothing too big that God can't handle. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please.